favorite people in the whole world with me today, and she thought she was just coming to visit her daughter who lives with us, and of course visit me. Yeah. But I gently began to ask her, what do you think about like us doing a little bit of recording together? And then before you know it, we had lights and cameras and a full-blown podcast episode. This is Missy Crossan, and Missy and I have known each other for our whole lives, but she has a few years on me. We came from the same womb. And I just have had some of the most deep, profound conversations of my life with her. I think we probably know each other the best of just about any of the people that we both know. Mm-hmm. And we've been through hell and heaven together several times. And I just have been thinking for a while how amazing it would be if we could have some of those conversations in front of other people and let them benefit from some of the things that we've learned. And I just thought it would be really cool to start today with people understanding just a little bit of who you are and your testimony, some of your story, where it is for now. And so anyway, tell them first just a little bit about yourself. I could tell them, but I'll let you tell what you'd like to.
Well, I am now living in Nashville, Tennessee, and I am the mother of three daughters and a son-in-law, and I was born and raised basically in the South, and let's see. I'm an exercise specialist, and I absolutely love teaching and training people all over the country in North America, exercise and nutrition. So I kind of do that as a side hobby. And I'm very involved in the church that I go to in Nashville called the Belonging Co. That God raised up about 4 years ago. And so I'm in the throes of everything he's doing in Nashville, and love being part of that. So that's kind of just briefly where I'm at right now.
So Missy's kids are, her youngest daughter is the same age as my oldest daughter. So although we've raised our girls together, and we both have only girls, she's been a little further along than me in the whole process. It's been amazing to have just her wisdom as an older sister and a safe place to just be vulnerable and real and process the highs and lows of life with. And her daughters are absolutely just jewels, and she's an amazing aunt to my girls and a safe place for them. And we have a younger sister who we also get into these very amazing deep conversations with, yeah, and share our highs and lows with, Christy Kaiser, and she lives in Alabama. So we're kind of spread out across the country, and when we do get time to talk, we go deep fast, and we also laugh a lot and all the normal things. We're just best friends. Yeah. The three of us really are best friends.
Yeah.
But specifically what I thought that would be great for people to hear is just some of your most recent journey. And I'll just start with this. Missy is one of the people that we're honored to have on the board of Restore 7, our ministry. And it feels kind of full circle for me, because when Johnny and I were pastoring a church in Atlanta years ago, and you and Martin, your husband Martin, we were the four of us so close, and Martin was a big part of dreaming with us about the Seven Mountains, and Johnny had just written his first book, and we're talking about how how to really steward over that message, and many of the things that we would dream about together we're finally starting to step into And I love it that you're on the board and that you're helping carry even just mm-hmm. the heart that he had and has, I believe, yeah. for it. But our family experienced just a sudden tragedy. Has it been 9 years?
2009, October 2009, 2017, so 8 years.
Eight years ago.
This October will be 9 years.
Martin just came back from a run and had a heart attack and died. And we contended for physically, I mean, we fought for his life, you know, that day, and then we had to let him go, and you're still having to live with that 8 years later, and it's been an intense journey for you. And that was on top of, many of you probably already know, but like some of my story is Missy's story too. She was 16 and I was 12 when our mom died of cancer after 4 or 5 year battle with a lot of surgeries, and it was just a long, drawn out, horrible death. And in the process, our mom left us with the most valuable thing she could have given us, which is a deep relationship with Jesus, and a very rare conviction at the time that the Holy Spirit wants to do life with us, and that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can walk in power, and we can operate in the gifts of the Spirit and all of that. So our dad had just really embraced that whole rare way of thinking and believing at the time. And so Missy and I have just picked up where she left off and run with it. Mm-hmm. All of that to say, you know, there are ways that we can look at life, and we can look at life from tragedy to tragedy or from glory to glory.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of tragedy, but there's been a lot of glories to glories in your story and in our family's story.
Yeah.
And so I just want to like get out of the way and just let you talk and share some of that journey and whatever parts of it that you think people could benefit from today. No matter, you know, we all go through tragedies, things that we're grieving, profound disappointments, and we're all contending for that place of hope and living from hope and from glory to glory rather than from tragedy to tragedy. So let's hear what you'd like to say about any of that. You can tell us more of the story or not, whatever.
Probably the most in personal, intense place that I would like to start is where I feel like in my life I have a very specific memory, and it wasn't a memory that started in this place. It's just a highlighted place in my testimony with the Lord, of Him, of really knowing that He was who He says He is, and that He is good, and that He can be trusted. And when I think back over my whole life, my journey with the Lord in my life, after my husband went to be with the Lord, and we literally were in the hospital, the truth of the Holy Spirit and His ministering to my children out of my place that I had walked with Him in light of what my children were going through at that moment became a very real, I want to say maybe just even an altar, like with the Holy Spirit, where He can go back and say, remember that place that we passed before? This is, you and I are putting an altar down here together of my faithfulness. And, you know, when my kids were standing in the room with my husband, I knew that he had gone to be with the Lord. And there was a place in me that was able to speak to them from a place I had gone to with the Lord when my mother died. And when my mom died, it took about, let's see, she died when I was almost 16. And so in my late 20s, there was just a struggle that I had gone to with, you know, with the Lord and walking with Him, because I very truthfully could have said, screw you, God. Nothing in life right now is saying to me that you are good and you're trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And yet, because I saw my mother and my father, I saw mom and dad, both cling to that truth, and I knew the Lord, and the Holy Spirit in me was faithful to just remind me, hold on, you know, hold on to me. Because I can handle right now that something is not connecting. Mm-hmm. Just keep coming to me in that place of disconnect. Mm-hmm. Because I'm gonna bring you out on the other side to the truthfulness and the loving kindness and the trustworthiness and the faithfulness of who I am. And so I struggled with that in the course of so many years until my late 20s. And then when I was about 28, there was a conversation that I had with the Lord. And it is exactly, probably duplicate of what you've stated before. There was a place that I came to in my heart of hearts where I said, oh God, you are good and you can be trusted. And I want everything that I filter in my life to come through that, because that's who you are.
Yeah.
So it's not just this ethereal thought. It's not something that I'm throwing out there that God is good and that He can be trusted. It is, that's Him.
Yeah.
And until I am completely made to the fullness of that truth, mm-hmm. which is Holy Spirit's job in me, mm-hmm. for me to be made complete in my Savior, I'm willing to go on that journey. And so when Martin went to be with the Lord that day, I said to my children, this is what's about to happen. Your heart is going to wrestle with this truth of, are you good, God, and can you be trusted in light of what's just happened in the natural?
Yeah.
Even though we know that there's a place in us that is a place of rest and a place of peace, knowing that my husband and, you know, my children's father was in heaven at that moment, still in light of living in this earth and the pain.
Yeah.
And even just contending for knowing that God can raise someone from the dead, mm-hmm. which we contended for in that moment in time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we prayed. We said, Lord, what's going on here? You know, there was a place where we really contended for His life, for Him to be brought back to life, yeah. in the natural, right,
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
And so even in light of that, in the natural, that pain, I was telling my children, here's what's about to happen in your relationship with God.
Yeah.
And so I encouraged them at that time. And they will even say now, they remember that,
yeah.
me speaking to them.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't allow yourself to be in that lukewarm place. That God's chest is big enough for you to beat on. Get in the ring. Get in the ring with all your questions. Because see, at that time in my life when Martin went to be with the Lord, in that very moment in time, there was such a settledness of peace over me. So I brought into the circumstance with Martin that, oh God, you are good and you can be trusted. That who God was, the truth of who He was, totally covered me in that moment. It didn't matter that the situation in the natural and the pain in my body,
yeah.
and who I was in the earth was facing that pain. The truth of who God is,
yeah.
took total precedence.
Yeah.
But I had lived with the Holy Spirit and I had come to that place.
Yeah.
So I knew the journey that my children were about to go on.
Yeah.
And so I was able to say, here's what's about to happen.
It's amazing.
And so I could only encourage them.
Yeah.
I could only state who God was.
Yeah.
I could only say, jump in the ring, mm-hmm. wrestle with him like Jacob, mm-hmm. you know, beat on his chest, take whatever emotion and whatever pain that this is going to bring, and it is going to bring it.
Yeah.
And keep on letting Holy Spirit have it and stating who he is as our comforter and who he is as our teacher and our grace, you know, our gracious, grace-filled redeemer and restorer of our life moment by moment, day by day. And so that's the place that I encourage them in. And their spirits heard that.
Yeah.
And I can testify to that because I've seen them
walk
through the past 8 years and the direction that they're heading. So once again, God's faithfulness in bringing them and keeping their hearts in him. And then I feel like, you know, that was just a place in me that was so settled. And so that part of my journey that I stepped into immediately so that when I experience, which I did and I still do, mm-hmm. the very natural process of grieving,
yeah,
you know, the missing of Martin and the, you know, all the feelings of, man, in my heart, I'm still a married woman and, you know, wrestling with, wait a minute, my part of my very real natural identity of being the wife of my husband was not there anymore.
Wow, yeah.
And so just recalibrating with Holy Spirit, the ability to be so grateful for that, for that place that I was, but knowing all along that my completeness of my identity mm-hmm. was not in my husband, mm-hmm. and it wasn't even as me as a wife, mm-hmm. you know, that I got to enjoy that here on this earth, and that and the realization of that with Holy Spirit, that out of that place came a gratefulness for what I had, and also just that place with the Holy Spirit of being able to say, I'm grieving right now. Like, I'm really grieving right now. And I can grieve from a place of settledness. Mm. And, you know, the word settled, the definition of the word settled is to come into agreement with that which has already been proclaimed or already been done. And so I felt like Holy Spirit has always reminded me that in him I'm settled, that he's got a perspective on our life together, and he's got a plan, and he has invited me in for me to say, oh, I'm going through this, but I know that you've got the final word. Mm-hmm. You've got the final say, and there's beautifulness in the process of following you in this. And so I can say in the natural, I am grieving, I'm in pain, I don't understand, all of the above, and yet I can let him into that place of grieving from a place of settledness, as opposed to why, mm-hmm. there's this place that is not reconciled in me. And one of the beautiful things of my mom going to heaven prior to my husband, and the Holy Spirit already beginning to complete that place in me of being settled in him, was that I got to bring that into the time when my husband went to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so there was already that place of settledness.
Yeah.
I had already contended with the Lord. Yeah. I had already said, this doesn't match up.
Yeah.
You need to reconcile who I think you should have been or who I thought you were in light of mm-hmm. the situation.
Yeah.
And in Holy Spirit's goodness and gracefulness towards me and loving kindness towards me, he has shown me over the years what it's like to look at the natural world and the situation and the circumstances and the people in this world and say, they must bow to who you are. I will not live from a place where you have to bow to what is going on.
So, in other words, like you don't allow people or the things you go through to define the character and nature of God to you.
That's right.
You're already fully convinced. Your heart is staying settled in that place of who he really is, therefore who you are to him.
Yeah. And so, knowing that we live in this world, I'm very aware that there are going to be solicitations from Satan to question me on those things. And there's going to be life circumstances and situations that try to shake that foundation. And that's a given. And so evermore the reason for me to dig those holes, to find the river of life and the air that I breathe. And, you know, that's who he is.
I mean, we were just talking.
The draw.
it's so powerful what you've lived and how you're able to speak from that place. You carry so much authority in that. And we were talking about a few minutes ago when we were talking about this, and we were saying it's like you have this really deep well. I was saying that about you, that you are such a deep well, and that God, you know, is drawing so much out of you. You're in a season of life where, I mean, even just by our age, it's like you live long enough and you learn enough and you figure out how to put it into words and express it. Somebody's going to want to draw that out.
Right.
And I love how God has put you into a time in your life where that's being more and more drawn out, because I've watched you live it out. And we were talking about how, I wrote in my book this part where it's like people will say, oh, I love the relationship with God that you have or whatever. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like clinging to a life raft. I'm glad that you're encouraged, by the way. I cling to my life raft. But, and you were saying when I said you have a deep well, you're like,
a deep well that God's just drawing out of you. You're just, and you're digging a deep well with him. And I'm like, that's hilarious to me, because when I think about digging a well to get to his living water, which it sounds like work, that's not the case at all. What I'm trying to infer, I'm just saying, you know, I'm in the midst with him of the daily life, and it's muddy, and it's, you know,
I'm thirsty.
Yes, I'm digging for my life here, and you know, it's a joy and strength, but it's, you know, it's in the natural. It's hard work with him.
Well, if I were to kind of summarize some of what you just shared, it's setting a trajectory and building on what you already have, rather than letting past create weak places in you.
Right.
Becoming steadfast in who you've experienced God to be so far, and then you quickly set your children. I mean, they were already adults at that time,
right,
but you quickly set their hearts in a trajectory by, with your mouth, you said, here's the option.
Yep.
Here's
what's going to happen.
Here's what's going to happen, and it's really not a valid option to go any other way but this way. I've been here. I know what this is going to look like. Wrestle with God and don't let go of his true identity as being good and trustworthy. And then I think just what I also heard was just your honesty in being honest with God. God's chest is big enough, you know. And I mean, we've been honest with God many times together, with because of Mom and because we lost Martin in this life that we had expected to have with him. And you know, we're gonna do a part two of this, and there's a specific direction I want to go in with that, but would you be willing to just pray over people that can identify with those places of disappointment, tragedy, maybe they're in a season of grief, maybe they're even some women like that can specifically relate with you right now, that have you know, lost their husband to death, and their husband, they know he's in heaven, but they're still in this place of grief. Yeah. I just feel like you have, obviously, you've walked in that place. You have an authority to declare some things over people that can relate to yeah. that.
And I'm glad there's a part two, because I feel like there's some good stuff in part two.
Okay, good. Yeah.
But I want to encourage, and this is kind of what I'm going to pray into, is in Psalms 27, that David talks about, I would have despaired unless I had known the goodness of God in the land of the living. And that was one of the most powerful verses that the Lord gave to me in that moment of time, because the choice was before me. And the choice was really between him and myself and the pain. And that's kind of what we want to unpack in the second session.
Okay.
Is that very real pain,
mm-hmm.
because that's the contradiction. And that's the thing that is screaming the loudest against God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. So, Father, I thank you that we absolutely can know your goodness here on this earth. And so, Father, I just lift up every ear that is hearing this encouragement from you, because that's really what is happening right here. You're encouraging your children to turn their eyes towards you. You have never once taken your gaze off of any of us. And Jesus, I thank you that you have experienced the suffering that we are experiencing. And you have your comfort, and you have your goodness that we get to partake of, instead of a place in our hearts that would be in despair. And so I just declare right now that those hearts right now that are so longing and so looking for your peace and your rest in the midst of tragedy or in the midst of pain, that you would do only what you can do and just cover them with your goodness.
Yes, God.
That their perception of who they are, that place in them would know what I said a minute ago about being settled in you.
Mm-hmm.
That their whole being, that their mind, that their will, their emotions, and their physical body.
Yeah.
Would come into a settlement and a perceived place for what you've already done for them,
mm-hmm.
which is to give them a hope, a living hope, and set their lives in the middle of your loving kindness and your goodness, and that you can be trusted. And thank you, Father, for your loving kindness for us in a situation like this.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, and we look forward to part two with you guys.